Face-to-Face Upper Intermediate by Chris Redstone and Julie Cunningham. Published by Cambridge University Press. This recording is copyright. CD 3. Recording 9.1.
Bollywood is the biggest film industry in the world, and its films are watched by 15 million people in cinemas across India every day. The films always include music, spectacular dancing, and romance, and usually last over 3 hours. The first Bollywood film to be produced was in 1908, and by 1930, over 200 films were being made every year. Now, studios in Mumbai produce over 800 films a year, which can be seen all over the world. Bollywood spends far less on production than Hollywood. But now, the industry is being forced to spend more to compete with big-budget American films. So, if you enjoy being transported to another world, you should go and see a Bollywood film.
Recording 9.2.
Hi, Nick. Fancy seeing you here.
Hi, yes. Just been out for a meal with some friends from work. And you?
Oh, we've just been to see Another Monday. Do you know it?
I've read about it. What was it like?
It was rubbish. It really was.
But it got such great reviews. Critics such as Amos Jones loved it, but I really don't know why.
Well, Jones was wrong, like he usually is.
Well, you can never tell with reviews, really, can you? And I must admit, I don't like Amos Jones as a critic. So, not a good production then.
Oh, Nick, don't get us started.
Even though it has actors like Cy Harris and Mae Firth. That's surprising. They're usually very good.
It wasn't the actor's fault. Cy Harris was great, like he always is.
The whole thing was like a bad dream. Even the set. Mm. Well, I say set, but on the stage there were just some black boxes which were used as tables and chairs. That was it. Talk about minimalist.
You can say that again.
It had such a good cast, but I thought it was really difficult to follow.
Impossible to follow, actually. The plot was so far-fetched and the ending was completely unrealistic.
And honestly, the play was so slow that I actually fell asleep at one point. I've no idea why so many critics liked it. It's really overrated.
Yeah, it was. It was dreadful. Probably the worst thing I've seen this year. I can't understand why it's getting so much attention.
Well, I can tell you didn't like it.
Whatever makes you think that, Nick?
Yeah, what gives you that impression?
Recording 9.3.
And how's work?
Yeah, fine.
And your mum? She any better?
Much better, thanks.
Did you go and see her last week?
No, I meant to. Going Wednesday, though. Just couldn't get any time off work last week. I tried to, but we were too busy.
Right.
So, what have you been up to this week?
Went to see the Degas exhibition at Tate Modern. You seen it?
No, haven't had a chance to yet. But did you see the Rachel Whiteread sculpture there? You know, in the main entrance hall?
Yes. 14,000 white plastic boxes all piled on top of one another. Such a load of rubbish, and they call it art.
Oh, I think her sculptures, such as the staircase or the bath, they're just so exciting. Seen those?
No, and I don't want to. I don't need to go to a Rachel Whiteread exhibition to see things I can see at home.
Well, she says she's caught the ghost of the lost object, so you look at it differently. Like you're looking at something for the first time. Like Tracy Emin's bed.
That wasn't even a sculpture, just her bed. With a load of dirty clothes and rubbish around it.
Did you see it?
Wouldn't want to. Why give up a Saturday to look at her bed?
She wasn't just showing her bed, really. She was expressing her pain. Apparently, she was so upset after her boyfriend left her that she stayed in that bed for weeks. It's the artist showing her feelings, her depression.
Well, it depresses me, that's for sure. Just like those people that burnt £1 million.
The K Foundation.
Whatever. They filmed themselves burning all that money and called it art. So disgusting. Think of all the people they could have helped with that money.
Yes, agree with you there. Interestingly, the K Foundation also gave £40,000 to Rachel Whiteread.
Say no more. But seriously, Rita, what is art for you? Paintings produced by computers like the Aran program got rave reviews from the public, but some of the critics said they weren't art.
Haven't seen them. But no, they're not art because there was no intention. The computer didn't intend or try to produce art, but Tracy Emin and Rachel Whiteread did.
Yeah, maybe they tried to, but they didn't succeed.
OK, let me ask you this. Did you like the Degas paintings? Were they art?
Yes, of course. Loved the one called, what was it? Racehorses in front of the grandstand.
Well, in his time, he was laughed at. Now his paintings are considered masterpieces.
What's your point? You can't seriously compare Degas with Tracy Emin.
No, I'm not trying to. Just trying to point out that attitudes change. And if...
Recording 9.4.
Hello?
Hi, Gary, it's me.
Oh, hi, Rita. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks. Listen, are you doing anything this evening?
Nothing much. Why?
Well, I thought we could give that new club a try. Do you want to go? It's supposed to be good.
I'm sorry, but I don't feel up to going to a club. Got to get up early tomorrow. Some other time, perhaps. But they're showing The Godfather at the art cinema. I wouldn't mind going to that. How about you?
I'd rather give that a miss, if you don't mind. Seen it so many times.
Well, we could just go out for a meal, then.
Yes, that sounds good.
Do you feel like having an Indian? Or we could go for Thai? Or maybe Japanese?
I'm easy, whatever you like.
Shall we give that new Indian a try?
I really don't mind. It's up to you.
Decisions. Actually, come to think of it, I've had Indian twice already this week. So, Thai or Japanese?
I'm not bothered either way. But if you don't make your mind up soon, they'll be closed.
I'd prefer Thai, I think. That okay with you?
It's all the same to me. I don't mind. Just make a decision.
Of course. It's so hard to find anywhere to park near the Thai place.
Gary!
No, I was just thinking we'd be better off walking.
It's pouring with rain out there.
Oh, so it is.
Look, on second thoughts, let's give tonight a miss and arrange something for the weekend.
Oh, all right.
Have you got anything on this Saturday?
It's my mum's birthday.
OK. Well, what are you up to on Sunday?
I haven't got anything planned.
Well, my youngest brother's got a new band. Do you fancy going to hear them play at the Junction on Sunday evening?
Great. We could eat first. What do you fancy? Thai, Indian, Japanese, or...
Well, you've got 3 whole days to decide.
Recording 9.5.
Hello?
Hi, Jennifer. Have you got anything on this Sunday?
No, I haven't. Why'd you ask?
Do you fancy coming to see Rita's brother's band?
I'd rather give that a miss, if you don't mind.
No, don't worry, that's okay. So, what are you up to today?
Nothing much. Do you want to do something?
Well, I wouldn't mind going to see The Godfather. How about you?
Great. What time's it on?
It's on at 5 o'clock and 8.20.
Which do you prefer?
I don't mind which one we go to. It's up to you.
Let's go to the later one.
OK, 8.20's fine. Do you feel like having something to eat first?
Sure. What kind of food do you fancy?
I'm easy. Whatever you like.
Recording 10.1. Jan.
I do most things round the house myself, and I even service my own scooter. Well, I just got fed up with being ripped off all the time. Like when I had my washing machine serviced. I'd never had any kitchen appliances serviced before. The guy charged me a £50 call-out charge just for walking through the door. The service was on top of that. Crazy! So, I got my dad to teach me how to do things. I still get my car serviced at the local garage, but I'm, uh, I'm going to start car maintenance classes soon, so then I'll be able to do that myself too.
Donna.
Ask me to change a plug and I wouldn't know where to start. No, if I can't get my brother to do things for me, I pay to get them fixed. I've had lots of things done recently. I had to get the boiler serviced because it wasn't working properly. Then the roof was leaking, so I got that fixed. Then the leak left a stain on the bathroom wall, so now I'm having the bathroom redecorated. I wish I were more practical. I'd have saved a fortune.
Sheena.
My husband works away quite a lot, so I've had to learn how to do a lot of things myself. In fact, I'm getting better at doing DIY. I actually put some shelves up myself last weekend. But before I put any books on them, I'm going to get my brother to check they're safe first. But there are still things I can't do. For example, I've lost my back door key, so I'll get the door lock replaced as soon as I can. I can't do that myself.
Penny.
I can do a few things myself, like I can change plugs, but I can't do very much else. So, I get my husband to do most things around the house. He's really good at fixing things. He's, you know, he's very practical like that. But he does hate painting, so we usually have the decorating done professionally. But he does pretty much everything else himself. And he's really good and a lot cheaper than a professional.
Recording 10.2.
I still get my car serviced at the local garage.
I get my husband to do most things round the house.
We usually have the decorating done professionally.
I do most things round the house myself.
Now I'm having the bathroom redecorated.
I'd never had any kitchen appliances serviced before.
I've had lots of things done recently.
The roof was leaking, so I got that fixed.
I'll get the door lock replaced as soon as I can.
Recording 10.3.
I think all men should help in the home, but every woman I know complains that they get no help from their husbands. For example, none of their husbands can even cook a meal, but my husband, Ken, can cook anything. He also puts our two boys to bed every evening, and because neither of them are old enough to travel on their own, he takes both of them to school in the morning. And if either of them stay at school late, he also goes and picks them up. I tell everyone how great he is, but no one can quite believe just how much he does. All of my female friends are extremely jealous.
Recording 10.4.
Housewife.
Workplace.
Human being.
Food poisoning.
Income tax.
Cutback.
Drawback.
Babysitter. Washing machine.
School lunch. Breakdown.
Recording 10.5.
Did you read that article in today's Independent saying women should give up work to become housewives?
Yes, but that's such a middle-class idea. Most couples these days can't live on one salary.
They can, they just choose not to.
No, they don't. We couldn't live on your salary, Matt.
Yes, we could.
Well, that's not the point. If women give up their careers to stay at home and look after the family, what do they do if things go wrong and they end up getting divorced? They're too old to start training for a job.
Well, They usually get half the husband's money so they don't have to work.
They do.
No, women staying at home isn't the answer, Matt. Men should help round the house more.
Speaking of which, have you read this? Why men lie and women cry.
No. Any good?
It's not bad.
You haven't read it, have you?
I have read it, actually.
I bet you didn't agree with any of it.
You're wrong. I did agree with it. Well, some of it, anyway.
Oh, I am surprised. Didn't think men read things like that.
Oh, that's a bit sexist, Naomi.
It isn't sexist. It's a fact. You know, men don't usually read that stuff.
Well, I did. Basically, it says that when we... If men and women want to live together successfully, they need to understand each other better. Not rocket science, is it?
Understand what?
Oh, you know, things like how men drive women crazy.
How?
Well, problem solving, for one. Apparently men like to sort out their own problems. They only talk about problems when they want solutions. You know what women are like. We talk about our problems over and over again. Mm-hmm. We just want sympathy. But men think they have to give us solutions. And when we don't respond to their solutions, they stop listening. Men do that all the time.
No, we don't.
Of course you do. It's classic.
Yes, it says in the book that women use three times more words in a day than men. When a man gets home, he's used up all his words for the day and just wants to sit in front of the TV.
With the remote.
Yeah, but his wife still has, about 4,000 or 5,000 words left to say. And most of what she says is exaggerated.
Meaning?
Women say things like, I've told you 1,000,000 times, I'll never speak to you again. You never listen to me. That kind of thing. And because men deal in facts, they say, well, I'm listening to you now. That kind of thing. Then the arguments start.
Oh, that would certainly start an argument in our family. But men exaggerate too.
No, we don't.
They do. They go on about how good their car is, how gorgeous their latest girlfriend is, that sort of thing. That's exaggerating.
But that's about facts, not emotions. Oh. Women say, you always do this, you never do that. And
but, Matt, I never say things like that.
So, you two newlyweds, how is married life anyway?
Recording 10.6.
Most couples these days can't live on one salary.
They can.
I bet you didn't agree with any of it.
You're wrong. I did agree with it.
Men do that all the time.
No, we don't.
Recording 10.7. 1.
We couldn't live on your salary, Matt.
Yes, we could.
2.
Well, they usually get half the husband's money so they don't have to work.
They do.
3.
You haven't read it, have you?
I have read it, actually.
4.
Oh, that's a bit sexist, Naomi.
It isn't sexist, it's a fact.
5.
But men exaggerate too.
No, we don't.
Recording 10.8.
Matt, where are you?
In here.
There you are. Can you tidy up the living room, please, Matt?
Uh-huh.
Thanks. You know, the thing I don't like about this flat is the kitchen. I can't move in there. By the way, that was your mum on the phone. She said they got a bit lost, but they'll be here soon. You're not listening, are you?
I am listening, Polly.
So what did I say?
Oh, no. My memory's gone. I can't remember a thing. Who are you? What are you doing in my flat?
Oh, Matt, you are an idiot.
I'm not an idiot. I married you, didn't I?
Aw.
One thing I love about you is you always laugh at my jokes.
Don't count on it. Hey, I thought you were tidying up. Come on, Matt, it's nearly 1 o'clock and this room is a complete mess. Oh, and where did you put the stuff for the salad?
You didn't ask me to get any.
Oh, Matt, I did ask you. I asked you this morning.
Oh, sorry. I'll phone Mum's mobile and ask her to pick some up on her way.
You can't do that.
Yes, I can. She's my mother. She'll do anything for her son.
Yeah, right. Go get the salad.
Too late.
Hello, darling. Sorry we're late.
Hello,
hello.
Polly.
Hello.
Mum, son.
The thing that amazes me about your mother is she still can't read a map.
I can, actually, Tom. One thing that annoys me about you is you never give me time to look at a map. Which way, right or left? I just get flustered.
Well, you're here now. Let me take your coats.
Oh.
Matt, salad.
You don't want salad, do you, Mum?
Matt! You do want salad, don't you, Val?
OK. Back in a moment.
Is this apple pie
homemade, Polly?
It certainly is homemade.
Oh, it's delicious, dear.
Thank you.
And your flat is so,
small?
No, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say, what I like about the flat is it's so light.
Mm. But the kitchen is a bit small.
Yes, what worries me about the size of the kitchen is I can't help Polly with the cooking. There's no room.
Oh. How on earth do you put up with him, Polly?
Well, it's early days. We've only been married for a month.
Recording 10.9.
Is the kitchen. The thing I don't like about this flat is the kitchen.
You always laugh at my jokes. One thing I love about you is you always laugh at my jokes.
She still can't read a map. The thing that amazes me about your mother is she still can't read a map.
You never give me time to look at a map. One thing that annoys me about you is you never give me time to look at a map.
It's so light. What I like about the flat is it's so light.
I can't help Polly with the cooking. What worries me about the size of the kitchen is I can't help Polly with the cooking.
Recording 10.10.
What I like about Sundays is I've got time to read the paper. Where is it?
I haven't seen it.
Yes, you have. You were reading it an hour ago.
I wasn't. I was reading the TV guide.
Okay, no need to get angry.
One thing that upsets me about you is you always contradict me.
No, I don't.
You do. You're doing it now.
No, I'm not. And the thing that annoys me about you is you always have to be right.
That's because I am.
Recording 10.11.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but you never really had it down. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. And all the words we had to walk.
Recording 11.1.
Mike Richards.
Hello, Mike. It's Rob.
Hi, Rob. Long time no hear. How are you doing?
Not bad, thanks. How's life in the world of advertising?
Fine, I guess. I've got a lot of work on at the moment, but between me and you, I've been finding it hard to get down to things recently.
Maybe it's time for a change.
Yeah, maybe. So, is this just a social call, or...?
Well, not exactly. I'd like to talk to you about a new project I'm working on.
Really? What kind of project?
I'd prefer to tell you face-to-face, if that's okay.
Sure. When?
The sooner the better, if possible. What about tomorrow? Are you free for lunch?
Let me check. Sorry, I'm having lunch with my boss tomorrow. I can't really get out of that.
No, of course not. Okay, how about sometime in the morning? I could get to your office by 10:30.
Sorry, I'll be interviewing people for our graduate trainee program then. Actually, that'll probably take up the whole morning.
Okay, what about the afternoon? Say, 4 o'clock?
No, sorry. I'll be in the middle of a meeting at 4. Then I've got 2 more meetings I have to go to. Maybe I could meet you in the evening?
Sorry, I can't do the evening. I've got to stay at home and look after the kids.
Oh, okay.
Well, how about Wednesday morning, say 11?
No, I'll be on my way to Southampton at 11. I'm giving a talk at a conference there.
Well, Southampton's not far from me. Maybe I can meet you there.
Okay, that might work.
What time would suit you?
Well, I'll have arrived by lunchtime. But then I have to have lunch with some clients.
You are on the go all the time, aren't you? So, what time's your talk?
It starts at 2, so I'll have finished giving the talk by 3:30, but then I'll have to chat to lots of people. You know what conferences are like.
Well, how about I buy you dinner?
Yeah, fine. I'm staying in a hotel that night anyway, and going straight to work the next morning.
Great. Shall we say 7:30?
Yes, fine.
Let me know where you're staying, and I'll pick you up.
Will do. Rob?
Yeah?
What's this all about?
Tell you on Wednesday. See you then. Bye.
Recording 11.2. 1.
I'll have gone home by then.
2.
We'll be waiting outside the cinema at 7.
Recording 11.3. 1.
She'll have moved out by the end of the week. She'll have moved out by the end of the week.
Two.
I bet he'll be watching TV when we get there. I bet he'll be watching TV when we get there.
Three.
At 8 o'clock, he'll be driving to work. At 8 o'clock, he'll be driving to work.
Four.
We won't have seen everything by then. We won't have seen everything by then.
Five.
They'll have got home by the time we arrive. They'll have got home by the time we arrive.
Six.
This time next week I'll be lying on a beach. This time next week I'll be lying on a beach.
Recording 11.4.
She'll have moved out by the end of the week.
I bet he'll be watching TV when we get there.
At 8 o'clock, he'll be driving to work.
We won't have seen everything by then.
They'll have got home by the time we arrive.
This time next week, I'll be lying on a beach.
Recording 11.5.
Oh, that was a hard day. It's good to be home.
So how did the conference go? Did they like your talk?
Yes, I think so. Nobody walked out, anyway.
Well, that's good. So, you said that you had something interesting to tell me.
Yeah. I had dinner with Rob last night.
Yes, you said. How's he doing?
Well, he's working freelance now. Magazine articles, that sort of thing. But Rob told me that he was planning to set up his own business.
Really? What kind of business?
He wants to open a coffee shop. You know, with sofas, newspapers, good music, healthy food, Wi-Fi. Somewhere you can really relax.
Whereabouts?
In Brighton.
Oh, right.
Yeah. He said he'd been looking for a good location since August. And now he reckons he's found the perfect place.
And where's that?
Between the seafront and the lanes. You know, that nice old shopping area.
That's a good spot. Lots of tourists and students.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And here's the thing. Rob asked me if I wanted to go into business with him.
But you've got a job.
Yeah, but he'd like do all the work, run the coffee shop and all that.
So why does he need you?
He's looking for someone to invest in the business. He said he could raise half of the money, and he wanted to know whether I could come up with the other half.
How much, exactly?
25,000.
What? Where on earth are we going to get that kind of money?
Well, we've got 10,000 saved up, and we could, take out a bank loan for the rest.
I'm not sure, darling. It's a huge risk.
Well, I asked how long it would take for the business to make a profit. He thought about 6 months, maybe less.
Does Rob know anything about setting up a business?
I think so. Look, he's given me a copy of his business plan. We can go through it together this evening, if you like.
Okay.
Anyway, he asked me to meet him in Brighton on Saturday.
Mike, I'm really not sure about this.
I'm just going to talk to him, that's all.
Have you discussed this with anyone at work?
No. Rob told me not to talk to anyone else about it. Except you, of course.
Okay. But promise that you'll discuss this with me before you do anything.
Of course I will. So, how was your day?
Recording 11.6.
Hello, Daisy, it's me.
Hi, where are you?
I'm still in Brighton. Rob's just left. He told me to say hello to you.
Thanks. So, how did the meeting go?
Very well, actually. First, Rob asked me what I thought of his business plan.
You thought it was good, didn't you?
Yes, I was very impressed, actually. He told me that the plan had already been approved by the bank, the one he wants to borrow £25,000 from.
Oh, right.
And he said that he'd been talking to an interior designer, you know, to redo the inside of the shop. It's a restaurant at the moment.
Yes, you told me.
Also, he wanted to know if I'd help with the advertising, which, of course, I'd be happy to do.
Right. So what do you think?
Well, it looks an excellent investment. But of course I told him I couldn't say yes or no until I talked to you.
Sounds like you want to go ahead with it.
Well, to be honest, I think we'd be crazy not to. Oh, and I said I'd be talking to the bank on Tuesday. You know, about the loan.
That shouldn't be a problem, though, should it?
No. I don't think so. I asked Rob when he needed a decision by, and he said by next weekend.
Really? That soon?
Yes. Apparently he's not the only person trying to buy the place. I asked him if he was talking to any other investors, and he said no. So it's up to us, really.
Well, if you're sure, then let's just do it. It's only money, after all.
I don't think we'll regret it. I did make one condition, though.
What was that?
I told him that he had to name the coffee shop after you.
Recording 11.7.
Your email was a bit of a shock. Rob trying to sell the coffee shop to Cafe Pronto. I couldn't believe it.
No, me neither.
I bet you were furious.
You could say that, yes. I've calmed down a bit now, though.
So what do you think we should do?
Well, let's look at the options. Option one, we go along with Rob's plan and sell the shop.
We'd make some money, so it would have been worth it financially. 25,000 profit in a year isn't bad, is it?
No, not at all. It's just that, you know, I just don't want our coffee shop to become another branch of Cafe Pronto. They're all the same, aren't they?
That's true. I'm not keen on the idea either. You're very fond of the place, aren't you?
Of course. I know we don't go there very often, but think of all that work we did getting it ready.
How could I forget it? All the cleaning and painting and stuff we did with Rob. I quite enjoyed that, actually.
Yes, me too.
So, what's option two?
We could just refuse to sell. Rob wouldn't be able to sell without our agreement.
But he said he'd shut down the coffee shop if we did that.
Yes, but I don't think he will. He still needs the money, doesn't he? What else is he going to do?
I don't know, but he did sound pretty fed up with working there.
OK, so that's probably not a good idea.
Well, there is another option.
What's that?
We could buy Rob's share of the coffee shop and take over the business.
But who'll run the place while we're at work?
We will. I could quit my job and you're... Well, you're always saying how much you hate working for that advertising agency.
I don't hate it exactly.
Yes, you do. You're always going on about how bored you are there and how you can't wait to leave.
Yeah, well, OK. But where will we get the money from?
Well, we can sell the house and move to Brighton. It's probably worth twice what we paid for it anyway. And we'll easily be able to buy Rob's share of the business with a profit.
And what if Rob doesn't agree?
Oh, he will. He's only in it for the money now. You said so yourself.
Well, it could work.
Definitely.
Well, I really do need a change. And the coffee shop is making money. As they say, you only live once.
Absolutely.
OK, let's do it. And who knows, maybe in a few years we'll be running our own chain of coffee shops.
Yes, and then Daisies can start buying branches of Cafe Pronto.
Recording 11.8.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for coming.
Hi.
Firstly, I'd like to welcome Roger Barnes, the product manager for Go. Roger, this is Amanda, who's just taken over from Mike as the account executive for this product, and she'll be handling the launch. You've already spoken to each other on the phone, I think.
Yes, we have. Hello, Amanda. Nice to meet you finally.
You too.
And this is Colin, our creative director.
Nice to meet you too, Colin.
And you.
Right. Let's see what ideas we've got for the Go campaign, Amanda.
Well, one thing we could do is use mobile phone ads, you know? Send short video ads straight to people's mobiles.
That sounds like a good idea. Colin?
Well, it's worth a try, and it doesn't cost very much.
OK, so that's one idea. Amanda, what about the press campaign?
Well, we suggest full-page colour ads in all magazines with a healthy living section. Women's magazines, Sunday supplements, sports magazines, that kind of thing. It's a healthy product, so this should be our target market.
Yes, that makes sense.
I wonder if it'd be a good idea to have a celebrity advertising the product.
Well, it depends. If you like the celebrity, you might buy the product. But if you can't stand the person, you probably won't.
So what you're saying is that the wrong celebrity could actually damage the campaign?
Yes, I think so.
Colin, what do you think?
Personally, I'd rather we didn't use a celebrity. For one thing, you never know what the media might find out about their private lives in the future. Then where would we be?
OK, maybe we should avoid using celebrities.
Am I right in thinking that we're not planning a TV ad at this point?
Probably not, no. The main problem with TV ads is that they're incredibly expensive and our budget isn't very big.
Are you saying that we won't be advertising Go on TV at all?
Not initially, no.
I'm not sure that's such a good idea. We need to have some kind of TV ad, I think.
I'll see what I can do about increasing the budget.
I know. Why don't we give away free samples of Go to commuters in the morning?
Yes, that could work. Everyone likes free samples, and in the summer everyone's thirsty, especially if they're travelling.
Absolutely.
We could offer a choice of flavours too, you know, strawberry, pineapple.
I've got an idea. How about giving away a free glass with the Go logo on? Then the Go logo will be on their desk at work all day.
Yes, I like that idea. Nice one.
Right, can we just go over this again? Ideas we have on the table are a mobile phone campaign... Mm-hmm.
Recording 11.9.
I know. Why don't we use cartoon characters?
I'm not sure that's such a good idea. I think we need some real people.
Yes, maybe you're right.
One thing we could do is show someone drinking the product.
Yes, that makes sense. How about using some attractive models?
Personally, I'd rather we didn't use models. They always look so false.
So what you're saying is that you want ordinary-looking people?
Yes, exactly. The kind of people who might actually go out and buy Go.
Well, it's worth a try.
I wonder if it'd be a good idea to show how much fruit is in it.
Yes, that could work. OK, can we just go over this again?
Recording 12.1.
Morning, Louise. Want some breakfast?
No, thanks.
What's up? You seem a bit stressed out.
Yeah, I can't find my mobile.
It might be in the bathroom. That's where you usually leave it.
No, it's not there. I've looked. Oh, it really bugs me when I lose things.
Did you... Have you tried calling the number?
Yeah, of course. But it must be switched off. It just puts me straight through to voicemail.
Right.
Oh, I've looked everywhere. It's not here. Maybe I lost it last night.
Or someone could have taken it from your bag.
Oh, no, I hope not.
Hey, don't panic. It's bound to be around here somewhere.
But someone might be using it to phone Australia.
Oh, chill out, Louise. Let's just try and work out where you left it. Then you can call and cancel it if you need to.
Yeah, good idea.
OK. Let's see. I met you after work, then we popped into that trendy new cafe for a coffee.
And I definitely had my mobile then, because I called my mate Jackie just after we left.
OK, so you didn't leave it in the cafe.
Mm.
Where did we go next?
Govinda's.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, and someone called you in the middle of the meal, didn't they?
Yeah, my sister.
Do you remember what you did with your phone after that?
Not really, no.
So you may have left it on the table or something.
Possibly, yeah. Oh, maybe I should call the restaurant.
It won't be open yet.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Hang on a sec. You can't have left it at the restaurant because someone texted you while we were queuing outside the club.
That's right, yeah. Hey! Do you remember that guy who kept staring at us all the time? He might have been waiting for a chance to steal my phone.
Maybe. He was a bit weird, wasn't he?
Definitely. But did we phone for a taxi when we left?
No, we just stopped one in the street. And you really fancied the driver, if I remember rightly.
Well, he was quite good looking, wasn't he?
Yeah, not bad, I suppose. Anyway, I think that guy in the club must have stolen it. Call the phone company now and get the number stopped.
Oh, what a hassle. This is really going to mess up my day.
Here, use my phone. I'll go and see if there's any post.
Thanks a lot. Now, what number do I call?
Recording 12.2. 1.
Someone could have taken it from your bag.
2.
He might have been waiting for a chance to steal my phone.
Recording 12.3. 1.
I think I must have left it at home. I think I must have left it at home.
Two. He could have been talking to someone else. He could have been talking to someone else.
Three.
We might have locked the keys in the car. We might have locked the keys in the car.
Four.
She can't have been working all night. She can't have been working all night.
Five.
I may have sent it to the wrong address. I may have sent it to the wrong address.
Six.
Your father must have been trying to call you. Your father must have been trying to call you.
Recording 12.4.
I think I must have left it at home.
He could have been talking to someone else.
We might have locked the keys in the car.
She can't have been working all night.
I may have sent it to the wrong address.
Your father must have been trying to call you.
Recording 12.5.
Now, what number do I call?
Try the internet. The phone company might have a number on their website.
Good idea. Any interesting post?
Yes, a postcard from my cousin. He's travelling around South America for a year.
He must be having a good time.
Yes, he is. Hey, look at this envelope. There's no name or address on it.
Let me see. That's weird. Someone must have delivered it by hand.
Who do you think it could be from?
Well, it can't be from my parents. They're in France. Wow! Look, it's my mobile! It must have been lying on the floor all this time.
Great! I guess someone must have found it. Have a look inside the envelope. Whoever found it might have written a note or something.
Oh, yes! There is a note. It says, Louise, you left this in the back of my cab last night. Give me a call sometime. Here's my mobile number, Patrick.
Oh, wow, how interesting. Patrick must be that taxi driver you fancied. So, are you going to call him?
Maybe, if I don't lose my phone again first.
Recording 12.6.
They needn't have worried.
They should have realised they were listening to a play.
They could have listened to other radio stations.
I would have reacted differently.
They shouldn't have fled their homes.
We couldn't have done anything else.
I wouldn't have said that.
Recording 12.7.
Hi, Chris.
Oh, hi, Laura.
Good day at work.
Yeah, not bad, thanks. Is Mark here yet?
Yes, he's just getting us some drinks.
Hi, Chris. Hi. Here you go.
Oh, thanks.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So, Laura,
How are you settling into your new flat?
Not very well, actually. I think it's haunted.
Haunted? You're pulling my leg.
No, I'm serious.
But you live in a two-bedroom flat in South London, not a castle in Transylvania.
That's vampires, not ghosts, you idiot. And anyway, there's no reason why her flat can't be haunted.
Oh, so you believe in ghosts too, do you?
Well, maybe. You can't say for certain they don't exist.
So, tell us about your ghost, Laura. Does it, wear a white sheet and go woo?
No, it's nothing like that. But I knew something was wrong as soon as I moved in. No wonder the previous owners were so keen to sell.
What do you mean, wrong?
Well, first of all, my old cat refuses to go into my bedroom. In my last flat, she slept on the end of my bed every night. So I thought that was rather odd.
Well, the previous owner's cat might have slept in that room, or they could have had a dog.
They didn't have a cat or a dog. Anyway, the other night, while I was lying in bed reading, I heard footsteps outside my room.
Could have been the people next door, perhaps.
No, it can't have been them. They're away at the moment. Anyway, I went and had a look, but there was nobody there. And then one night, I saw it, or rather, her.
Wow. What did she look like?
She was, let's see, she was about 40, dressed in clothes from the 50s, I'd say, and she was just standing there staring at me. Then she just vanished into thin air.
How spooky. You must have been terrified.
Yeah, I was, actually. Then a couple of days later, I saw her again. I woke up and she was standing in the corner. She was holding her hands out like this, as though she was asking for help.
I don't think she's the one who should be asking for help, Laura.
Leave her alone, Mark. So, is there anything else unusual about the flat?
Let me think. Oh, yeah, there's this part of the kitchen that's always freezing cold.
That's called the fridge?
Ignore him, Laura. He's the most sceptical person on the planet.
Anyway, I don't know what to do.
Well, I know a good psychiatrist I can recommend.
Yeah, I bet you do. So, what options do you have?
Well, I thought I might try and get some help, but I don't really know who to call about this sort of thing.
Recording 12.8. 1. Speaker 1.
When you've been studying hard in college all week, it's nice to do something different at the weekend. My friends think I'm a bit odd, but I often just spend a day in the flat doing boring things like, you know, cleaning and washing. Strangely, this makes me feel much more relaxed at the end of the weekend than I would if I'd been sitting watching TV or reading the Sunday papers.
Speaker 2.
I suppose I should do a few of the household things like the washing and tidying up, but I prefer to spend time outside doing jobs like mowing the lawn and cutting the hedge, that kind of thing. It sounds like hard work, but it's actually very relaxing. I need to get my bathroom redecorated, but I keep, putting it off, as I'm no good at DIY. One day, perhaps.
Speaker 3.
I'm very busy during the week, what with working and looking after the family, so in the evenings I just tend to fall asleep in front of the TV. Saturdays are always very busy, and I usually go and watch my boys playing football in the afternoon. Sunday is my day, and you might think I'd have a lie-in and read the papers. Actually, doing a bit of decorating is my favourite way of relaxing. It's quite creative in its way, and I like making things look good.
Speaker 4.
Weekends are my chance to switch off from work. I often get up early on Saturday and, you know, do some of the household jobs and get the shopping done. I hate doing that kind of thing, so it gets it out of the way. On Saturday evenings, I usually invite some people round, and I enjoy experimenting with new ideas in the kitchen.
That's how I relax, mainly. I'd like to grow my own fruit and vegetables, but I haven't got a very big garden.
Speaker 5.
It's great having a weekend at home, particularly in the summer when I can, just sit in the garden and do absolutely nothing. I used to be a keen tennis player, but now I don't even follow the sport on TV anymore. My favourite way of spending Sunday morning is to lie on the sofa with a big pile of papers and find some interesting articles to read while my partner prepares lunch for the family.
2.
Hello and welcome to the programme. My special guest today is sports therapist Karen Thomas.
Hello.
Karen, there's some recent research which has shown an alarming increase in the rate of sports injuries. Why are so many people, especially people over 30, taking up exercise these days?
Well, of course, a lot of people in that age group are not new to exercise. They've been doing sports since childhood, and a lot of them play for local teams and sports clubs. But many others are having a go for the first time because they want to keep their weight down and just generally keep fitter, possibly because they've got older relatives with serious health problems and, you know, they want to avoid getting those problems themselves.
And who's likely to get more sports injuries? People who are new to exercise or people who've been training for many years?
You're expecting me to say the ones who've just started, aren't you? But actually, people who are used to exercising are actually more likely to have problems because they don't always remember that you have to look after your body. It's just a case of being sensible. There's no need to hire a personal trainer or buy a lot of expensive equipment or anything like that.
The injuries that you see in the course of your professional life, how do people get them?
Oh, all kinds of ways. For instance, quite a few ankle and knee injuries result from running. I'm not saying don't go running, but you shouldn't... It's not a good idea to run without doing a warm-up or some strengthening exercises first.
So should we be worried about the increase in sports injuries?
Well, we can't ignore it. But remember, most of the people I see have aches and pains and back problems because they never take any exercise. So we do need to take a balanced view about this.
What about having the right footwear? How important is that?
Very. Don't just, rush out to the nearest high street shop and get the first fashionable pair of trainers you see. Try to find a specialist shop where the staff are well-trained and professional and know which shoe will be best for people with particular needs. And you don't have to get the most expensive pair in the shop either. Many mid-price trainers are just as good.
My last question, Karen. What sort of exercise do you recommend for someone like me who's never really done anything sporty since school?
Well, I would say whether you live in the country or the city, you can't beat getting out on the footpaths. Not jogging, not for a beginner, just getting those legs moving. Stepping out at a good pace for 30 minutes three times a week will do you more good than any number of hours sweating it out in the gym, in my opinion.
Right. I'd better get exercising then. Thank you very much for coming in today, Karen.
My pleasure.